humans are trained to think, at least modern humans. Modern humans are trained to think. All fucking day, we're thinking. We're at work, we're thinking. We're thinking, what is the traffic going to be like? We're thinking, where can we park? We're thinking what to get at lunch. We're thinking about our job. We're thinking about what to get for dinner. We're thinking about our partner. We're always thinking. We're rarely just feeling, right? When you're having sex, you're supposed to be feeling. Feeling your body, feeling all of the sensations, the smell, the touch, the taste, right? But because you're thinking all day long, and then at the end of the day, you're supposed to just not think, damn, that's hard, right? And that's why intrusive thoughts are so common. We think all day long, and then all of a sudden, we have to shut it down and just feel. What the hell is that?
Welcome back. We are on today with my guest, Dr. Tara, on the Tool for Dishit podcast. I'm your host, Angie Sorensen. If you enjoyed this podcast, if you love this episode, don't forget to press like, give it a 5-star rating, leave a review, follow it, subscribe. However the platform you're currently listening on lets you show that you're enjoying this, please do it. I so appreciate it. Every time you do it, it really helps this podcast expand, grow, and get in front of more ears. Okay? This is such an important thing for me when you do it. Like, I really, really appreciate it. And so, yeah, it doesn't matter where you're listening from. If it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Radio FM, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, and so on, Stitcher, iHeart, so many of them, right? It's everywhere. So, wherever you're listening from, just if wherever you show appreciation, I absolutely love this. Thank you so much, because it really is thanks to you that this podcast has grown and grown and grown and grown and grown. So, okay, so today I really can't wait to talk about communication, meditation, confidence, and affirmation as it relates to sex from the perspective of my guest today, who's a tenured professor of relational and sexual communication, an award-winning researcher, a relationship coach, and podcast host at Love Bites. You can see her in Cosmopolitan, Women's Health Magazine, Hello Giggles. She recently had a TED Talk, which is called Become Sexually Powerful, which highlights her research. Basically, it was 5,000 participants that she studied examining factors that predict sexual satisfaction. I want you to help me give a big, big, warm welcome to Dr. Tara. Tara, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Angie. It's an honor to be here.
I'm really excited. Before we get into it and find out all about you and what you do and all your tips, I want you to tell us where you live, your dating status, and what got you into this line of work.
I live in the sunny California, specifically Los Angeles. Love it. I am dating someone. So I'm in a committed relationship, and I got into this line of work for several reasons, but the two main reasons are, one, I got my PhD in human communication, and during my PhD program, I was studying relationships already, and then I found out that one of the problems that most people have in relationships are related to sex and dissatisfaction in that arena that, you know, becomes this ball of resentment in a relationship. So I realized, wow, that is something that needs to be observed and studied more and speak about more. Like, more people should speak about what are some ways to not have that kind of problem in a relationship. And then the second point was, particularly for myself, you know, I was in a lot of relationships in my 20s, and I realized, like, I was the common denominator for all the dissatisfaction that I had. So, you know, I pick up a few really good personal development books, and then I realized that I need to have a growth mindset. I need to know that I can change. And then from then on, I research and I read and I study and I speak about sex. just also like selfishly for the sake of myself.
Yeah. So it's kind of like almost like a mix of like your personal experience and the what you find out in academia as well. It's sort of like you married the two. And you know, it's interesting that you said that the biggest one of like the biggest issues in communication for couples is around sex. Like that's one of like the dilemma. And it's one of those things where when sex is good, it's barely part of the equation. Like it's not even a thing. But when it's an issue, it's huge. Like it takes 80% almost of the space in the couple. But when it's not, it's like, oh, 20% of, you know, like there's not, it's, but it really does weigh heavy when it doesn't work out.
Oh, yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. And I see them in my clients. I see them in the couples that have been together, you know, 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, 20 years. And this ball of resentment just keeps getting bigger.
Yeah.
And yeah, it becomes a big issue and it manifests in other arenas in life, right? Like all of a sudden you're doing dishes and you're pissed about something and it stems from, you know, that lack of desire, lack of passion. Space.
Do you think that that sort of like, because that's almost like that's quite a passive aggressive way of dealing with things, right? So like, I'm annoyed with you because this morning, like, you were just being selfish in bed, and then now we're at dinner with friends, and I'm just gonna like make a snarky comments about you.
Oh yeah,
in front of other people, right? So it's like, do you think that kind of level of charge is because that's like sex and intimacy is this as much as you know. Almost maybe some people are trying to like almost like make it, no, it's no big deal. You can just sleep, you know, sex is just sex and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Yes, in some cases it is, but maybe like when you are in a committed relationship with someone that you feel like should have your back and care for you, if they're not actually looking at, if you're not looking after each other in that way and being able to be completely transparent, it almost has like such a bigger meaning than what it just is, which is sex. Right?
Yeah, it becomes, you know, a betrayal of what you promised to do, which is to care for me, to love me, to look after me, right? Yeah. In a very holistic sense, sex is one of them. A betrayal that stems from like this lack of care within a relationship. So for example, this is exhibit A and millions of people are experiencing this. Couple, long-term relationship. One person hasn't wanted to have sex, hasn't initiated sex for months, maybe years. The other person becomes very resentful, very mad, it's all because they feel unwanted, uncared for, unsexy. They feel like their partner is not even attracted to them. All of that, it feels like a betrayal, right? Because at the beginning, when you're dating, when you promise to be together in a committed relationship, there is this kind of unspoken rule that you'll always be attracted to me, which is not the case to a lot of millions of couples.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that whole saying attracted to each other, it's not easy because then we got to go into the, you know, into the,
yeah.
the other bits, but like, I find like it's quite important because like sometimes attraction can almost vanish like within a few hours, like because that person of a sudden their character seems like off-putting to you, like there's something they've done, and all of a sudden in that in those few hours you're like, shop is closed right now, like don't even come anywhere near me, I'm not, like to me you're ugly now, you know, it's like that feeling of it's like it is not just a physical thing, it's really like it can be an attraction to someone's personality and stuff, and then it can turn around, you know, you can turn it around, but it's something that you have to nurture, you know, because I've got a couple of friends, you know, they went on holiday and I think that they were traveling to India and they got like the typical, you know, they got sick and then, you know, it was like, it was coming out of every holes. And she said to me like, she says, it was awful. You have no idea. Like we saw each other, like we smell so, like it was disgusting. And she said, we really had to work out feeling attracted again to each other like this. It was like, cause they were like in the same room. And I was like, but everyone has their own, you know, limit, things that push them off, things that don't. It's something you have to nurture.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's something that you have to nurture. It's not just easy. It doesn't just happen, especially people that are in long-term relationships.
Yeah, Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, the first few months, it's, you know, all the hormones are taking over. They're doing the job for you.
Yeah. When you're highly attracted to someone, you're attracted to the novelty. You're attracted to learning new things. You're attracted to learning about this new person. And like everything they do is kind of like, oh, my God, it was so hot. Oh, my God, that was so attractive. And then, you know, all of that kind of fizzle out. But how do you carry forward the true attraction for one another, which is much more than just that initial spark, right? So all of that takes work from both people to have a successful long-term, I mean, happy long-term relationship.
Yeah, I think nobody likes to hear the word like it's work next to like, you know, sex and attraction.
I know, people hate hearing the word work. They think it should be easy. And that goes into the myth, right? Like one of the myths that you were asking me about, like what are some myths? The first myth is really like sex is easy, or it's supposed to be, and everyone's supposed to be able to do it and do it well because it's natural. Like yeah. That's bullshit. That's not true. I'm too old for this shit. That's not true. There are so many people that are either not good at sex. They haven't, you know, explored themselves. So they're not showing up confidently in the sexual encounter. There are a lot of people that feel like they don't even like sex, for example, because they haven't cultivated that sexual energy within themselves and the comfortability about their own sexuality. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of issues people have individually and in a couple regarding sex. So sex is not easy, right? Mm-hmm. It can be if you cultivate other areas of life, and we can talk about like affirmations and meditation. If you cultivate those aspects in life, then yes, sex can become easy, but it still work. Like Rihanna said, sex with me is amazing. All is all work, no vacation. Sex is work. No, sex is not work. It's just lazy sex. And a lot of times those are not that good.
Listen, you also need the stamina, right? Because
physical,
you know, sometimes you're like, oh, you know, and then you get all the my joints and it's like, oh, and then you need to be flexible now because all of a sudden you guys like,
oh my gosh,
there's a lot going on. Okay, so I'm just stepping out of the episode for a minute. If you like what I'm doing and you want to have your own podcast too, I actually teach the stuff and I absolutely love doing it because podcasting has been such an incredible experience for me. My favorite parts have been being able to just be myself, connecting with fascinating guests from all walks of life, connecting with you as well, you know, engaging with you. It has been really an amazing experience. And so I am beyond excited to be able to help you create your own mark in the world through podcasting by showing you how to do it. So to get the details on how to sign up, just go to learnpodcasting.online. I will add the link in the show notes and I really hope to see you there. So now back onto the episode. And actually, I wanted just to go back to the first thing that you said just here about, you know, people not exploring themselves and not showing up confidently because they don't really know their body and their desires. And that just made me think of, you know, the thing that now people are starting to talk a bit more about is that those intrusive thoughts that interrupt sexual arousal. Mm-hmm. So even if you're alone and you may feel like your body is like, oh, you know, maybe you're feeling something. And then there's something that's like coming in. Like, could you talk a bit about that? Because this is only something that I heard in one place before. And I'm like, oh, it's actually a thing that people talk about. So like, can you tell us a little bit like what happens and what it is and why people are having those thoughts? And is this common?
Yeah, intrusive thoughts that stops arousal is very common.
Wow, okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very common. It's common even when you are self-pleasuring, like when you masturbate. Some people report they're masturbating and then whoops, they're thinking about something and that feeling that they're building up is gone. So they just stop masturbating. Like fuck it. It's over. Right. So it happens not only with partner sex, but even when you masturbate. So intrusive thoughts is quite common. Now it's way more common for some than others, but what are the factors that contribute to someone that is always having this kind of intrusive thoughts that impede them from feeling full arousal. The first thing is if they haven't practiced a lot of mindfulness, because mindfulness is the ability to be present. Mindfulness is the ability to be in the now without, you know, thinking about too many things at once, right? About being in the moment, being present in the now, focusing on one thing. That's mindfulness, right? So if, you know, people that have never dabbled into any kind of mindfulness, like any meditation, breath work, yoga, journaling, like anything at all, then yeah, they're going to have a lot of that, like a bunch of busy, like intrusive thoughts that come into your mind. It's like having like sex ADHD.
Yeah.
Right. You're just like, whoa, this just came in. That just came in.
And sometimes they can even like, I've even heard of stuff where it's like, you know, which is something that they mention sometimes in comedies and stuff, but like in Friends, you know, like you have Chandler. Don't know if you watch that. And he like, he talks about, he tries to share with Joey, like, he's like, you know, he has sex with a woman and all of a sudden he pictures his mom and then it's like, but he doesn't want to picture his mom. And it's like, and then Joey goes, oh yeah, yeah, all the time, all the time. And then he does, they don't realize they're talking about something slightly different. And then all of a sudden, like, Shanley's being shamed. Yeah, bless him. But it's obviously not something that he wants to think about, you know. And I'm sure that story comes from real life somewhere that a writer heard. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it came out of the blue. If these are not thoughts that, oh, it's not because you think about your boss who just pissed you off, which that, of course, that can cut your libido 100%. Yeah. That's an intrusive thought too. Yeah. But it's like, there'll be things, it's like, what the fuck is this? It's almost like, is there, it's almost like that Catholic guilt or whatever you want to call it, you know? It's like, it's it can be quite disturbing, I think, for people. Like, yeah, it's just, it's tough. So you say like mindfulness and like meditation, journaling, things like that.
Yeah, meditation, journaling, affirmations, yoga, breath work, all of those allow you to sit in a space and focus on one thing. And that's what sex is.
True.
When you're having sex, you should just be there. Be in that moment, have sex with the person, only think about the now, right?
Yes.
The intrusive thoughts come when you couldn't focus on one thing. Mm-hmm. Right. We're also think about it this way. Why is it such a big problem to a lot of people? Humans are trained to think, at least modern humans are trained to think all fucking day. We're thinking, we're at work. We're thinking, what is the traffic going to be like? We're thinking, where can we park? We're thinking, what to get at lunch. We're thinking about our job. We're thinking about what to get for dinner. We're thinking about our partner. We're always thinking. We're rarely just feeling, right? When you're having sex, you're supposed to be feeling, feeling your body, feeling all of the sensations, the smell, the touch, the taste, right? But because you're thinking all day long, and then at the end of the day, you're supposed to just not think. Damn, that's hard, right? And that's why intrusive thoughts are so common. We think all day long, and then all of a sudden we have to shut it down and just feel. What the hell is that?
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so true. It's like, because I've started to journal only like a week ago. And I'm actually really loving it. I mean, it's called the 30-day challenge. So it's basically in the evening, I answer three questions and I write them down. Mm-hmm. Same three questions. And one is, well, I don't have my book, but it's like, what gave me the feeling of enthusiasm today? Two, what drained me today? And three, what did I learn about myself today? Same three question. You have to do it for 30 days or longer. And I realized it was something that, I'm saying this because I've got the point to this about sex, but it's like, I think last week on Thursday, there was something that came up, and then on Friday, and it's sort of like, I realized I was thinking about it a lot. Anyway, so when I did my thing at night, and I wrote it all down, and then the next day, I was like, I realized, oh, like not even the next day, because I did it on the Friday, and then today I was like, oh my God, I haven't even thought about all yesterday, and yet today. And when I'm thinking about it, there's no charge. So this is what I'm going to do now before, when I have a partner, you know, like before I have sex or before I masturbate, I'm just going to take my journal. Wait a minute. I'm turning everything down so that I'm not thinking of anything else. I can focus on this one thing. I think it's true. I think I never realized that journaling was so useful, you know. I mean, I love breath work and meditation and stuff, but journaling You get all your crap out on paper.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm. I'm a big fan of journaling. And one of the things that I do, I mean, every single day is I journal, but I do one sentence about sex or sexuality or relationship.
Is this like a question that you answer, or you just write something about sex? What do you mean?
Write anything at all about that arena of my life, sex and relationship. So I can even just write like, my partner looks so hot this morning. Right? Like just one sentence, but it keeps it in my mind, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So many people, they get older, they're, you know, in their 30s, so busy. So like, you know, so busy with their jobs, worrying about their bills, worrying about dating or trying to get married or have children. There's so many things to worry about that we forget, and we put sex like at the bottom of our list. Mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of us do that. Sex is at the bottom of the list. A lot of women do that. A lot of women do that. They put the sex at the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
I try to not do that. And I advise all of my clients and students to not do that, because here's why. Sex, I mean, do you believe in like chakras?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So you are an energy chakra. Energy is, I mean, energy is real. Like, yeah, I mean, even just how are we able to exist in the world? It's energy, right?
Yeah.
And like, I mean, all of that, like Big Bang and stuff like that, but it's energy, and sexuality and your sacral chakra, that's one of your energies that you literally just get rid of when you're too busy. So to me, it's like, that's not okay, because it drains me of other chakras, of other aspects of my life. I feel like if I come regularly, then I am a better person. I'm a better professor. I can focus at work more. I'm happier. So I'm a better friend. It's just, I think it enhances my life. Therefore, I put it top three priority.
Yeah. And you can feel also like, I know, like this whole last year, my libido has literally like dropped down completely. And then it sort of came back in. It actually comes back in my sleep. It wakes me up like I wake up with an orgasm. I'm like, what happened? It's like, you know, it's almost like my subconscious is like, hey, come on, girl. You know, it's like,
let's go.
Yeah. You forgot about us. And so, and then during the day, it's like, poof, but it sort of come back a bit more now, you know, and it's like, it's a nice feeling. And when I say libido, it's even just like the desire of wanting to be close to someone, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like everything around it. And it's that warmth, and that it really is like getting your juices flowing. It really
totally.
Is that. And it's like this life force, and sexual energy is definitely powerful, because sexual energy is what create life.
Yes.
You know, there are no laboratory that can create life from scratch. We cannot put consciousness from scratch. We can
right.
We can maybe move our human consciousness to robot, but we cannot create consciousness from scratch just yet, right? And life, actual life from scratch is
right.
I don't think it is, but maybe in a few years they can. So sexual energy is very powerful, very sacred, very It's something that you cannot really invent and put it in a bottle. So
no.
Yeah, I totally believe that. I think it has a lot to do with life force and energy, and and you just have that yumminess around you.
That was well put. Yeah. Sexual energy creates life, and it's true.
Yeah.
And like, it's sad that millions and millions of people, and majority women, put it like last on their list.
Yeah.
And without knowing. Yeah, without knowing that that's actually enhancing other priorities in your life. It enhances your career. It enhances your happiness. It enhances you being a better friend, a better daughter, a better whatever you want to be. It's great.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to it. Definitely. Monday morning. Okay. My homework.
I'd say like daily masturbation is healthy if you're not partnered up. Mm-hmm. Or even if you are like, okay, let's say you have sex maybe twice a week, other days you can masturbate.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I actually have the same friend about that trip in India. She told me, I don't know if she still does that now, but she, even if she wasn't in the mood, she would make sure she masturbate, like get started, and then she'd get in the mood. It was like almost like this thing that she was doing as a daily ritual. like, you know, brushing your teeth. Once you decide to go, okay, I'm going to commit, I want to try and find this sexual energy again and that libido. What are, you mentioned something I'd never heard of before, and then I Googled it. And I was like, oh my God, it's a thing. Guided sexual meditation and sexual affirmations. Now, guided sexual meditation, and I even saw one from Marissa Pierce, who's a huge, huge, like, she's world famous. And she has this sexual guided meditation of 30 minutes. Yeah. So that's on my drop, on my, it's saved, it's pinned on my web browser. I'm going to have to try it out. But like, what is that? Where does this all come from? Sexual affirmation, guided sexual meditation. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah. So, I mean, sexual meditations in general is highly beneficial for you. Like, meditation is highly beneficial for you in all aspects of life. There's a lot of research that found meditation contributes to better mental health state. Meditation contributes to better physical health, right? So better mental health, better physical health. There's even research that shows meditation increases sexual arousal. There's experimental research out of Sex Research Institute in Canada that shows that regular meditation and a couple of other kind of mindfulness practices enhance female sexual arousal. This particular experiment was about female sexual arousal. And this is from subjects that had, you know, some type of sexual dysfunction after having like cancer. So it's actual physical impediment. And then coming out of that and feeling this sexual arousal again due to meditation, it's fucking powerful. Yeah, right. So I mean, what is guided sexual meditation? It's just like other kinds of meditation, except for that guiding the voice is about sex. So it allows you to tune in.
Like, what are we to expect of a guided sexual meditation? It'd be like, they'll say, okay, now you take your hand and put it on. Like, what is it? Like, do they say, now you caress your nipples? Like, what's this? Like, is that what they do? Or what was it?
Exactly that. Exactly that. So I actually have a list of guided sexual meditations on YouTube. If you Google my name, like Love Bites by Dr. Tara on YouTube, you'll see a list of guided sexual meditation for solo meditation and for couples meditation.
Oh, okay.
So if you're a couple and you want to try something new, get naked and like meditate together to this couple's guided meditation. So a solo sexual meditation is focusing on a couple things. The first one can be sensation. So it's like taking deep breaths, right? And like meditate. And then now I want you to start caressing your nipples, right? And then it goes for like another 30 seconds with just like ethereal music, really lovely, really relaxing. Mm-hmm. And then it goes into, now I want you to move down and I want to caress your inner thighs. And then it goes for another 30 seconds of ethereal music. And so it's like enhancing your consciousness to the body.
Yeah.
To be in tune with the sensations within the body, because then it's so much easier when you do have partner sex to tune in and to enjoy pleasure in your body when you do this. So that's kind of the first type. The second type is through breath work. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty like rigorous sexual, like energetic breath work. So it's like, a really good like breath work that kind of send. In the guided meditation, I want you to send it to your genitals, right? Yes, Think about like sending this breath to your genitals. And then the third kind is affirmation. So you meditate quietly, listen to the affirmations and repeat it in your head. Like, I am a great lover. I have amazing sexual energy and so on and so forth. So there's kind of three different types.
Yeah, you know, I love that. Like, and breath work, I really believe in breath work. And I think I realized, I think I may have done a guided sexual meditation without realizing it. Because I have done courses with Leila Martin, and there's like one, she's got lots of free content out there. I only did one, but there is one, it's called the Womb Ritual. And it really is like breath work, and you literally send it down, like she calls it the yoni and the womb and all of that. Mm-hmm. And you know what, when you do it, because it's about, like you said, it's about the awareness. You start to being aware of different things, and all of a sudden, like, is the way you imagine how your breath travels through your body and up and all kinds of things. She does it. I don't do it justice because I'm clearly not someone who does meditation videos, obviously. But like, I listen.
But you will.
Like, I will. I'm sorry. Let me see. And so yeah, and literally, I could feel like the. You know, sometimes you feel like your pleasure when you're having sex or when you're masturbating, it feels very explosive. And by that, I mean, like, it's just very a quick burst and that's it. Boom. Whereas, like, if you can actually, like, work with the breath, then all of a sudden, like, you sort of, like, you move it up. You move the pleasure up from your pussy up to your belly. And so, and then, and that is, like, really that breath work, and you move. And I was like, oh, that's how it works. Oh. And I have to actually practice because I haven't. But I could literally feel, like,
yeah,
oh, I could feel something moving up. I was like, oh, that's how you do it. Yeah. And so when, like, next time when I had like a partner, I was just like trying to go
yeah,
breathing yeah. It
out. Well, and that's right. Yeah. When you practice that a lot of times, you'll realize you can have what is called rolling orgasms. Mm. And it's pretty fucking amazing.
Can you explain that? Is it like the one that, so it feels like it moves up in waves in your body? Is that what
yes.
you mean?
And then yes. And you are like, through just breathing, you're able to hold on to it quite a few more seconds, and yeah. It's rolling. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what they call like implosive in, I think that's what they call implosive as well.
It feels amazing.
Places. Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes I do solo sexual meditation for, you know, 5-10 minutes and I get wet.
Yeah.
I get wet. Yeah. I get aroused just on my own. Like, my partner is not even here. I don't need
to have
a partner.
It's a nice feeling to just, because it does make you feel like, oh, full of life, you know? Like, it's
totally.
Yeah.
So I do the sexual meditation and then I masturbate. It's a great combo. It's a really good little self-care that I have going on. It all only takes 15 minutes. I meditate like 5 minutes after. I meditate 5 minutes. I grab my vibrator, I lay down in bed and like just kind of relax, touch like, you know, my erogenous zones in the body and start masturbating. And it's amazing.
Yeah, I saw on your website that you recommend one in porcelain. I've never seen any vibrator made of porcelain.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that like, will it not break inside? Like, is that not dangerous? Like, what is the
no thing? Not this kind. Yeah, like it doesn't break inside. The way it was built, it was designed by someone who has a really great academic background in designs. And a female.
Yes, nice.
So she cares about female bodies, and it's all the material is medical grade and it's safe, and I have one and I love mine. I use it alone. I also have my partner use it on me. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's a cool change from the silicone one, but I like that too. I have a bun.
You know, I don't actually like the silicone ones. I like I've tried glass, and but it's like, again, it's a special glass that does, you know, like it's quite heavy actually. Glass and it's not jade. Is it onyx, that darker stone?
Wow, I've never seen that.
Yeah, well, I can show you if you
want. Yeah.
But it's like, it's like dark green, like a really, really dark green. You almost think like it's black. Like, it's kind of, because I think.
Is it like onyx. Crystal?
It's a type of crystal. Yeah, it's a type of crystal. And so, yeah, I mean, it could break if you like drop it on the floor. But it's like, it's supposed to. Yeah, I don't find the silicone ones, I don't enjoy that. Not anymore. Like, you know, once I tried the other ones, they feel better. But yeah, and so the affirmation, the meditation. And so I guess like that's almost like, I feel like that's really good advice in terms of like, okay, that, because once you get to understand your body more, you actually know what to communicate to your partner, right? And I think that's maybe one of the key issues that people don't know how to communicate, because sometimes we're like, well, I don't really know what I like, so let's just play. And that can maybe feel a bit frustrating for some partners, you know, like, so I'd love to talk a bit about the communication. And I don't know, do you want to talk about the communication first or the confidence? Because I guess sometimes maybe, I mean, I guess like doing the affirmations and the sexual meditation, that helps you with your sexual confidence, right? But I guess what I want to ask you probably first is what I should have done. What I want to ask you first is, what does actually sexual confidence mean? Because I don't think like just because someone maybe has a lot of sex does not always necessarily mean that they're confident, you know. I mean, I don't know, I'm assuming here. But like, what does sexual confidence means and looks like to you? And have you always been confident?
Ooh, great question. So sexual confidence is the trust in your own ability to have an enjoyable sexual encounter, right? So trust in your own ability to have an enjoyable sexual encounter. So if you're someone who's like, oh yeah, like sex is great. Oh yeah, sex is going to be great. Oh, I know that I can have great sex. That's a sexually confident person, right? So that's the meaning of it. You trust that you are able to have great sex. You're able to have an enjoyable sexual encounter. Yeah. Have I always been confident in bed? Hell no. Not at all. I was actually quite sexually anxious. So the opposite of it. In my early 20s, I was very sexually anxious. And then I developed more and more. And then I had...
What does that mean to be sexually anxious? Does that mean you'd have like almost like an anxiety attack before sex? So you were really insecure about it?
Yeah, very insecure. I would say like I was very nervous in a way that it gets in a way of having enjoyable sex. Yeah. So most of the times in my 20s, I didn't love having sex because I was nervous and I was thinking about too many things. And, you know, how did my body look like what if, you know, I don't get wet? What if this and that, a lot of what ifs really, which induces more anxiety, right?
Correct.
So yeah, I was quite anxious. I felt like I wasn't sexy or like good in bed. Like, you know, I had one pivotal moment when I was younger. I was watching Sex in the City, and you know, like Samantha Jones is someone, she's a bad bitch, right? Like she's someone that really owns up to her like confidence and being this like confident woman who is not afraid to ask for pleasure and enjoying sex, right? So I'm like, wow, some women are just not like that. And some women are like that. But I want to be the woman that's like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be not in like, not in the holistic sense, but in the sex sense, I want to be like Samantha Jones. I want to speak up for myself when I'm attracted to someone. I want to be able to approach people. If I like them, I want to be able to confidently say I want to have sex with them. I want to be able to confidently have sex and enjoy it and come and have multiple orgasms. Like, how do I do that? Right. So like, no, I wasn't always confident. I worked on myself to become who I am today. And right now, like when I have sex, it's fucking amazing.
So when you say you've worked on yourself, is that like through all the meditation, breathwork, yoga, journaling, therapy, like all kinds of stuff, or
all of that, all of them. I started with meditation because like my background, I'm from Thailand, and in Thailand, like a lot of families send their kids to kind of like meditation camps. When they were like young, you know, like when I was 10, I went to like a meditation camp. It's like a 3-day camp for meditation, for example. Wow. So I kind of had that practice in me, but then, you know, you become a teenager, you kind of forget doing it and hanging out with friends become more important and partying. Yeah. Right. And so back in my 20s, I'm like, oh wow. Like I feel quite scattered. How do I bring myself back together and be much more calm and solid again? So I started meditating again regularly. I started even just 2 minutes a day. Yes. You know, when people are like, I don't know how to meditate, it's so hard. That's not true. You can sit still and close your eyes for 2 minutes. Everyone can. I started doing that. And baby steps. So 5, then 2, then 5, then 8, then 10. than 15. And now, like, if I want to do, you know, a guided meditation for an hour, I can, because it's baby steps. And so I started doing that, and then reading more about sex. And then, of course, I became, I got into the graduate program, started doing more research, become a professor, do more research. So I'm always surrounded by like sex and relationship stuff, knowledge and talks and stuff. So in that, like improving myself, I realized that two other things are also really, really beneficial. And they are, it's journaling. So I started journaling, and I only started 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I started journaling and adding that one sentence about sex and relationship just to make a change. And then I started doing the breath work and, you know, like affirmations and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So all of that have contributed to me feeling very sexually confident and also like have a much better sex. Yes. Like now when I have sex, you know, I can come every time.
Wow.
And I feel really good every time. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's amazing. It pays off like big
it
time.
It does pay off. It does. Yeah. And I say that.
And like considering I'm only in my 30s, right? Like considering like I started this and I'm only in my 30s. Like, hell yeah. I have another 30, 40, 50 years of experiencing this pleasure because I made the change.
Yes. 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 Oh, I love that. That's very much about accountability and, you know, and owning and making the change yourself, because it is really easy to say, oh, he's a bad lover, he's selfish.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just don't know how to communicate, and also because sometimes you don't know what we like. And I think it's really much like, it's making that commitment, because sometimes that's the thing, isn't it? We want to quickly watch Netflix because that's instant, you know, and I'm not judging because I'm that person.
We all do that sometimes.
And it's like, but sometimes you've got to do the things that really isn't going to be comfortable, like doesn't feel comfortable because you're not used to it. But once you do it, like I know, like, for example, now I'm really, you know, the last few days I was like discovering journaling, and I've never done it before, but I always enjoyed like breath work and certain type of meditation. Sometimes I like to change different types of meditation. It does always feel good, you know, and sometimes things come up and you may have a little cry or something, but if it always generally is something that's really good and very beneficial, you know, it's, you know, a glass of wine is not going to have that same effect. And actually it does actually remove some of your senses and it plays on your mood and in a bad way, whereas the rest is actually going to enhance your life. So it is.
Well, you know, a glass of wine may get you aroused. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you're going to have great sex. It doesn't mean you're going to come.
I think that's the thing. Is like it actually turns down your senses. Like, when you drink, you may have less inhibition, but...
Yeah, less inhibition.
But you don't feel
it doesn't
as
mean it's going to be great.
No,
yeah.
You're desensitized and you're not definitely not focused and you're not present at all.
Right, right.
So...
exactly,
yes.
Angie. And those, so like, it's good to distinguish, like, those are two different things. Being aroused and having great sex, it's two different things. Arousal is important. I mean, it comes first, right? You have to be aroused in order to have sex. But then during sex, whether or not you can orgasm or have pleasure, that's the other part. Because maybe you're aroused, like you're horny after one glass of wine. You're like, ooh, I'm a little tipsy. I'm feeling myself. I'm horny. I want to fuck someone, right? Doesn't mean it's going to turn out great.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't.
Right.
So, yeah.
So the other parts, you have to work on yourself. Yeah. And then, you know, with a partner who hopefully is someone good at sex.
Yes.
Then it's an enjoyable time.
Yeah, and is that, like, I was going to ask you about, like, the role of playfulness with someone.
Yeah.
You know, like, and what sort of, like, because you can be confident in your own sexuality, like, or how you feel as a sexual being, and then, but there's also the tangle, the dynamic between two people, right? It's an exchange of energy. Mm-hmm. And I personally always feel like when it's playful, when you can actually laugh with someone, it always enhances it because it's almost that relaxing factor straight away. Like, like when you have a good laugh, it's like sometimes like a good meditation, right? Like,
yeah. Oh, hell like, yeah.
Right. So like, I think sometimes people may take it a bit so seriously, and it becomes like a job and mm-hmm. you know, like a task, and it's like that's definitely not the point, right? So like adding playfulness, is that something that you'd recommend too?
100%. And playfulness throughout the day, playfulness just in your life in general, not just in sex. Just, you know, try to behave in ways that is a little bit more playful. For those of you that are not used to the word playful, right? It's like joking around, being a little naughty, like just, you know, try to be more playful during the day.
Yeah.
And then that will translate into the bedroom as well. Yeah, like you said, you know, when you take sex too seriously, it becomes very stiff, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it becomes very stiff, very robotic. Even if you're confident, it's just so intense. It's so stiff. I don't think anybody likes stiff. It should be the opposite. It should be the opposite. It should be kind of like chuckling, like, you know, giggling and laughing, kind of kissing and making out. Yeah, there's like a passionate moment. But then you can also like, you know, what if like you try to take your pants off and then the zipper kind of got stuck? Are you going to be frustrated because you're too serious? Or are you just going to laugh and be like, maybe the pants don't want us to fuck?
Yeah, yeah. And there's always so many things going on when you have sex. Like, you know, there's noises and, you know, your body's going to do things you can't control. And it's like, there's always going to be something, you know. And it's like, that's the thing is that when we feel insecure about our bodies and things like that, or we think that it needs to look a certain way and all of that, it becomes very hard to relax, and it's almost like impossible to gain pleasure because we're so caught up in our insecurities. And that's why definitely working on ourselves and, you know, making sure that we are okay as an individual is so important, because that's contagious. You know, your good feeling or your bad feeling is going to be contagious in that arena. And
oh my gosh. Yeah, yes.
Right. It really is. Like, I mean, I know that's not, it's, you know, a lot of people also, like, they always make such an impetus on, like, you know, the physical, like, you know, big boobs or mm-hmm. big dick and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And I'm like, to be honest, like, it's not, first of all, size, you know, sometimes, like, you can be very surprised when someone has, like, what you think would be, like, a less of an average size penis, but their attitude is on point and they know mm-hmm. how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, like, it doesn't mm-hmm. like, people have all these preconceptions, and too big can really be too big and hurt, like, you know what I mean? Like, it depends on who you are.
Too big is not good.
Too big is not good at all.
No,
you know, but it will fit, you know, different people likes different things. For someone, for another woman, that would be perfect, you know. Mm-hmm. And for someone mm-hmm. else, it'd be like, oh my god, no. So
yeah, so like, don't believe in porn. Like, when you watch porn, don't believe it when it's like, oh my god, this porn star has a 10 inch dick. I'm like, 10 inch, that'll probably go through my stomach.
Right, exactly. That, yeah. I think some people are confusing the uterus and your actual pussy, because like, unless you're about to go through my cervix, it's not gonna go right.
No, hell no.
It. Yeah, yeah.
No.
But
actually your G spot, if you believe in it, your G spot is not that far deep, like inside of your vaginal canal. It's actually only like 2 inches in. So
what'd you say if you believe in it? I want to hear that.
Well, in the research realm, you know, for amongst sexuality scholars, some researchers disagree that there is a G spot. Some researchers are saying, yeah, we don't think there is a G spot. We think it's just you experience pleasure in your body when you do penetrative sex, and that's kind of it. And mm-hmm. a lot of the explosive orgasm comes from clitoral alone.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So, definitely clitoral.
Yeah, some researchers in the field believe that instead of both, like vaginal orgasm and clitoral orgasm.
You know, I learned about there was like different spots inside. So you have the G, you have the O, you have the A. There's all kinds of, you know, very fancy letters.
A lot of letters, a lot of letters.
Yeah, the posh vowels are the ones we're getting at the A, the O, you know, like, and cervical orgasm as well. And you know, like, everyone's going to feel pleasure in different areas. And sometimes you can discover pleasures in areas you didn't know. Like, for me in the past, I would never have thought that would have enjoyed pleasure vaginally, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't happen every time either, obviously. But it's an area that for me definitely was like, oh my God, I don't even know how. And it's like by educating myself and learning different things and then trying and using actually that, I'm going to call it the onyx. Mm-hmm. I was mm-hmm. like, that... The crystal.
The dildo.
Yeah. And massaging. Literally, actually mm-hmm. massage. Not even going for pleasure, but just trying to massage because mm-hmm. it was like tense areas. And all of a sudden you uh-huh. go, ooh. And then all of a sudden sex is different because you've almost like relaxed. It's almost like when you go for a massage. You know, you have
yes,
like a knot.
Hell yeah.
Right?
And you know, you have that, you specifically have that quality of someone that would have amazing sex because you're very self-explorative. I don't feel like I have.
This is why I'm attracted to people like you coming on, because I'm like, what is that code I haven't cracked? Because I don't actually explore myself enough. Like, this has like gone out of the window. But no, I think the potential is there. But
well, you have the attitude for it. Like, you're yeah. open to it. And that's yeah. like, you know, that's, yeah, one of my... Well, are we going there now?
Yeah, like, well, go on. Yeah.
Okay. So I was going to say, it's one of my advice is what to consider when it comes to, you know, developing yourself to have great sex, to have yeah. better sex, right? People always preach like, you have to communicate, you have to explore, you have to do this and that. There are a lot of things that you can do. But the first thing that you have to have is the growth mindset. Very, very much so yeah. the most important thing in order to have an amazing life is to have the growth mindset. If you have a loser mindset, like I'm done, like nothing I can do, my life is this, I'm stuck, like I don't want to do any of this, none of this works, I can't do it, I cannot do it. You can't, if you think you can't do it, then you, fuck no, you cannot do it.
Yeah.
Right. So that growth mindset is the very first like orientation in a person that you need. And you definitely have it because you're having this conversation and you're very receptive and you're like, oh, I should be trying that and this and that. You know how unique and special that is and how so many people don't have that? It's troubling. How many people don't have that? And I'm exposed to a lot of people, right? Because I'm a professor. Yeah. Like I meet thousands of people. I can see immediately who is going to have a great life and who is not unless they change. Mm. And that attitude, the lack of growth mindset in which we call the fixed attitude.
Yes.
If you have a fixed attitude, like nothing can change. I cannot change. My partner cannot change. We will never change. Our life is going to be like this forever.
Yeah.
Well, then it will be yeah. because of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, like sometimes we feel, sometimes I have days where I'm like, oh my God, I'm not gonna, you know, like you have like, you know, ideas of what you want and directions and mm-hmm. expectations. And yeah, there are days, but it's like not staying in that mode. It's like all of us, you just, it's almost like allowing that negativity and feel like, oh, mm-hmm. let it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, go for a walk, have a go to bed early or whatever. And then, you know, next day, pick yourself up again, you know, and
yeah.
so you have the energy. But sometimes, yeah, it's like, doesn't mean that always like positive. But yeah, I think,
no,
yeah, I think it's
no.
that it's more that desire for, definitely, like, I hear what you're saying. Desire for growth, desire for like having an amazing life in terms of
yeah.
like, and it's not even like, I'm not after like, it, not that, I mean, I would definitely sit in one, but like, I'm not, it's not because I want like a Rolls Royce or a Tesla, none of that. It's like, it's more like me, there's certain things I want to achieve in life and they require money. And there's certain things, a certain level of joy that I want to have because life is short. Life mm-hmm. is so, so short. It goes quick.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's, yeah, so it's, yeah, it's, yeah, it's true. I guess you have to have, like, the attitude to want to go and do those guided sexual meditation. It's definitely not everyone who would, I guess. Is
yeah.
that, So once you've done all that work and you feel more confident, is there like any sort of like really practical tips? Because if, for example, I want to ask you, sorry, about practical tips on how to communicate, because there's something I saw on your Instagram, like I definitely recommend people to go and check out Tara's Instagram. It's full of really good little nuggets, and they put me in a very good mood as well. And it's there's one I saw about basically like little things you could do in February, and it's like it's about teasing and playfulness, and it's like there was something was like, you know, touch the genital in public when no one's looking, or show your nipple when no one's looking, like to your partner. It's true, it's like little things where you can have like those little inside jokes. And so I guess like in the same way as like you have those practical things on your, you know, on your website, Instagram, and things, like do you have practical things on how to communicate for better sex? Like let's say if you're really shy, you're beginning, and like you want to communicate to your partner that you really don't like the way that how he's touching you, like you know, like maybe like the pressure or whatever it is, you're not enjoying it, like how do you communicate it in a way that doesn't feel like school or that you're killing his gusto or her gusto, you know, like how do you do that?
I did this like kind of series on my TikTok on like how to talk to a defensive partner, because sex people become very defensive when you give them feedback, right? Because sex is so personal, and when you give them feedback it feels like you're attacking them personally, because sex is a very personal thing. So how would you talk to a defensive partner, or how would you give feedback, right? The very first thing to know is you should never use blame language. Well, I can't come because you do this, or I can't come because you don't do this. Like that's literally not ever going to solve that problem. If anything, it will escalate it to a bigger problem and potentially a breakup. So never use blame language. It will never help. And then number two, and this is the most practical thing you can do for the rest of your life, for all kinds of feedback you want to give in life, maybe at work, maybe with your children, maybe with your partner, with your siblings, whatever, but particularly sex, because it's very sensitive, right? Is to go positive, negative, positive. So we call it here a poop sandwich. The shit's in the middle. So positive, negative, positive, right? So like, you know, you know, like, I think I think you're a really good lover. Like, I love it when you kiss me. You're such a good kisser. Then the feedback, like, oh, but it would be so nice if you can go down on me more, because it feels good when you do it. Like, I get more wet, I get more into it. And then end with another positive, like, other than that, like, you know, I love it. Like, I love that when you thrust, I love like the other things that you do. Just that one thing that I think would improve our sex life or the way I enjoy pleasure.
And do you recommend, like, what if it's in the moment? So let's say like you're in the middle of, let's say like foreplay or sex, and maybe they're going too much to the left with their finger or whatever, and it's like, you're like, no, to the right, because that side, you know, like whatever, like I say, it's not comfortable. How do you say it in a way that doesn't get them on the defense?
Right, yeah. So same thing, but shorter, right? Like, let's say they're fingering you and it's like not amazing. Let's say it's like, okay, let's say they are like rubbing your clit, but it's too intense. Like, you can go by like, love it when you touch, I love when you touch my clit, but can you like do just one finger and softer? And then when they start moving it, like, oh yeah, just like that. That's great. Oh yeah, that's great. A lot of positive reinforcement, right?
Yeah.
But love it when you do that. Start with that. Love it when you do that. Even like when they're kissing your neck, and you're like, ooh, maybe like too much, right? Like, ooh, love it. But like, can you do it slowly or softly? And then like, oh, just like that. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. And I think also like sometimes like something that I realize, maybe like tone as well. I think maybe sometimes I didn't realize my tone, but it's like, I can't remember where I heard this with someone. I was like, oh my God, that's what I need to do. But it was almost like a tone of like, oh yeah, oh no, just a little bit more to the left. Oh yeah, oh amazing. And it's like, it's like almost like a direction, but that almost feels like you actually still in pleasure. So they go, oh my God, yeah. Oh, to the left, yes, okay.
Yes.
So, So I was like, put the tail on the donkey, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's, and it's like, oh, damn, that's what I should have used, you know. It's like, but you don't always think, because sometimes you're like, oh, sometimes like you're in such a good place and all of a sudden there's like, they do one thing and it like, it's either like, it kind of like is uncomfortable because it can be very sensitive down there sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's like, and all of a sudden like, it almost wakes you up like from that trance and it's like, to go, oh, no, to the left or to the right. And yeah, it's almost like being more like conscientious of the fact that, you know, it they are trying their best down there and, and everyone's there to have a good time. So,
And the one thing that if, you know, if you're dating someone, the one thing that you should never do is belittling them in front of their friends or your friends, like in front of a group of people. Yeah. I've seen this in some people I know. They will think it's a joke, but really it's quite hurtful. Yeah. They will say like, oh, Michael doesn't know shit about fingering. And like in front of everybody, and they think it's like a joke, right? Everyone's just laughing, but and then everyone just kind of goes like, yeah, but then Michael know how to thrust, right? Like, so it's all kind of brushed off as a joke, but I bet Michael doesn't like that deep down.
No.
Saying, Michael doesn't know fingering, like he can't finger for shit. Like, you can't say things like that. That's so hurtful, even if it's a joke. Like sexual identity is so personal. And if you say something like that, it will scar the other person. So be mindful and careful what you say.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. I mean, words can really cut. I mean, there's 100%. Mm-hmm. And it can really, like, you don't realize how it can actually impede, like, your sexual experience with your partner, really. Mm-hmm. Is there anything sort of like on top of, you know, of what we've said today and what you shared today, are there any sort of, maybe like really unexpected thing that have come up like through your research or through working with clients and that were like, oh my God, like I definitely did not expect that around sex, you know, or around relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, is there anything else that maybe you want to share that was like, whoa, I did not expect that. It's like a aha moment.
Yeah, of course. And I love that question. So like big, like lesson learned, right?
Yes.
And the very first thing, and it might sound mundane, but it's so true, is relationships take work. But it's fun work. It's the work with the person that you chose to work with. And Alan, the scholar that I think founded the School of Life, I think, in London.
It rings a bell. Yeah. It rings a bell, School of Life.
Yeah. So he gave a speech about romanticism and relationship and this and that. And he talks about how we're all crazy. We're all crazy people, but we just have to find a person that accepts our craziness and we accept their craziness. Yes. So he's like, when we go on a date, what we should do is we should compile a booklet and give it to that person and say, hey, here's how I'm crazy.
Yeah.
What do you think? Right? So it's about like, we all have quirks. We're humans. Nobody's perfect. We all have flaws, but it's the kind of flaws that would mesh with another person and that the other person would want to work with. Relationships and sex will always be work, but who do you want to work with?
Yeah.
That's the key, right? Mm-hmm. Who are you willing to work with? If you enter a relationship, having the mindset that a relationship should be easy. If it's not easy, then it's not meant to be.
Yeah.
Then you're wrong.
Yeah, those are the people I need to stop dating for sure. Like, it's like next you're time I hear that, wrong. I'm like, I'm like, whoa! I always, you know, what's gonna happen? The first like hurdle, you're gonna, you know, it's just
you're gonna give up because you're gonna be like, this is not meant to be.
Yeah, give up or like fight in a way that's like, it feels like a fight. It's not like we're not
like toxic.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, it's just like it's very negative, very quick, and it's you know, and I'm no saint 100% in relationship. Like I can be very terrible too.
Yeah.
You know, like, so like we all have our quirks, we all have our flaws. But yeah, it's like, you know, like you said, like finding someone that you And they want like, to be there with you.
Who do you want to work with? Yeah, and who wants to work with you? Yeah.
Exactly.
If you want to work together, that's a good relationship.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, who do you want to be in the trenches with? It's like work. You know, you can go to work. Like, some days are going to be great, but then all of a sudden it's going to be a crisis. If you don't have like colleagues and teams that's like, they're in it together, let's do this, not the blame game. Let's just get in there and get it sorted, find solutions.
Exactly.
If you're in an environment where it's all about, oh, who did this? Who is it? Who am I to blame? It's like, oh my God, like, can we just fix it?
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? Yeah. Like, let's just learn from it, move on. And that's the same thing in relationship. Like, we're all going to mess up 100%. Yeah. We're going to disappoint each other at some point.
Yeah. You know, yes.
Yeah. It's
only not, natural.
It is work.
Yeah. It is. It's just, who do you want to work with? Do they want to work with you?
Yes.
Let's work together. Let's have a happy, happy life together. Happy sex life together. You got to work together. Yeah. Right. So, the myth that like, if it's meant to be, it will be easy. Like, that's a myth. That is bullshit. And we're too old for this shit.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
like, stop believing in that. That is absolutely wrong. You know what is easy? Attraction. When it's right, the attraction is easy. The reason why people describe, oh, if it's meant to be, it should be easy. It's just the attraction part.
Yes.
Yes. The attraction is easy.
Yeah. There's no work. Right? Yeah.
The attraction is easy. Attraction doesn't last 40 years.
No.
That like initial, like, oh my God, everything was so easy. The conversation was so easy. The whole night, the whole date was amazing. It was so easy. Like, okay, cool. That is possible because it's initial. Actually, the first year can be easy.
Yeah.
But then when shit happens, because it will, are you going to stay together? Can you deal with it together? What are your conflict styles? Are you both communicative? Are you both emotionally intelligent? Do you both have growth mindsets to work together to solve things? Let's say you realize after dating this person for 3 months, like, fuck, I've never had an orgasm once.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Are you able to communicate to them? Are they going to be open to receiving feedback, or are they going to be defensive and say it's your fault? Right? All these nitty gritty has to work out through working together, through communication and open-mindedness, in order for it to work long term.
Yeah.
When you say relationship should be easy, like if it's meant to be, that's false.
Yeah.
Let's squash that right now.
Definitely.
And then number two, one of the biggest lessons I've learned is sex is 70% you, 30% your partner.
I love that.
Majority you. You can induce your own orgasm. Right. So it's not like, oh, I just, you know, I've never had sex with someone that was good enough to make me come. That's not true. Right. Sex is 70% you, 30% your partner. You alone can induce your orgasm just, you know, through penetration with a moderately good partner.
Yes.
Yeah. So sex is 70% you, 30% your partner. We have to stop relying fully on your sexual partner, and men too. Like, a lot of men are like, ah, she's not good at sex and this and that. Like, I mean, a lot of it is in your head, and a lot of it is experiencing this moment together, right? It is together, but 70% you, 30% your partner.
Can I flip this with a question? Because like that, like, I can almost hear me including, because I agree, like, a lot of it is us, because, you know, self-awareness and actually being able to be orgasmic, right? So
yeah,
that's something that we need to work on ourselves. But it's like, then if you can have an orgasm regardless who you're with or how good they are or how bad they are, however you want to qualify it, right? Doesn't that almost also say, well, the partner has no playing, like it makes the partner could almost not be there, but there's that, which is true when you masturbate, right? The partner doesn't need to be there, but there's that, it almost feels like we are like, does that not almost like diminish, like, not diminish, what's that I'm actually really wanting to say? Let me just think about this.
Like, yeah, reducing like the importance.
Yeah. It's almost like the partner doesn't, like, it's almost like you're almost ignoring your partner. The partner doesn't even need to be there. Like, it's not, they're almost not there. They're almost like just in the background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's a I love that you said that because that's a good rebuttal to what I said, right? But remember, that's still 30%. Yeah. There is still 30% your partner. It's yeah. still like your partner has to be fully in it. Your partner has to be, you know, somewhat skilled. And also you guys should have that chemistry, right? Mm-hmm. Sex is just going to be mediocre if you don't have the chemistry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like I've had my fair share of casual sex and like most of them are kind of mediocre because right. I like didn't have that true chemistry. Right. With my current partner is amazing because we have chemistry.
Right.
So of course, like the partner matters a lot.
Yeah.
But a lot of what you bring to the table too.
Is it like saying that like that 70% being you is because, you know your body, you know how to, you've learned how to be orgasmic and so on mm-hmm. and so forth. But that 30% is, you know, especially when you are with someone that matters to you, is because it's their hand, their mouth, their yes. mind, is yes. their humor, their
the meaning
quirks.
Behind it.
That's
yeah.
the thing that elevates it to a higher pleasure, right?
Totally. It's
like that, so that 30%, maybe even if like in quantity sounds so much less, it's actually something you almost can't quantify, right? Because it's a quality
right.
behind it. And that's that yeah. thing that makes you go, when you're in public, it's because it's their hand touching you, not some random person.
Exactly.
That makes you feel creepy, right? So
yeah. It's very special. It's a special 30%.
It's a very special 30%.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so Tara, is there before you tell us like, you know, where we can find you, how we can work with you and so on, is there anything else that you'd like to share with us? Anything else that you wanted to add before I ask you the two finishing thoughts?
Yeah, I want to remind you again that you can make the change, that you are the only person that can save yourself from mediocre sex.
I love that, yeah.
Be Remember, back yeah. to the conversation about growth mindset, right? You have to believe it to start changing yourself, to start having an amazing sex life, is you have to believe that you can.
Yes, 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 absolutely.
First step.
Yeah, I love that. Be your own shiro, be your own hero, be your own, you know, hero, however, you know. So, Tara, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed Ari's conversation with you. You've got such a great energy and a lot of insights, and you're just really, really fun as well. So,
thank you.
No, absolutely. And I want to ask you the two finishing thoughts. They're the same two questions I ask all of my guests. And the first one is, what do you wish you'd realized, but on the cellular level, not just cognitively? Like, what did you wish you'd really realized and understood at 18?
I wish I realized that my body, whatever it looks like, is enough and beautiful.
Yeah.
I wish I realized that. And I think a lot of young women don't have that. A lot of us, especially nowadays, you look through Instagram and there's a bunch of these models that, you know, tweak their photos, their waist is tiny, their ass is huge.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's unhealthy. It's really unhealthy. And it's a part of why I was sexually anxious when I was, you know, 18, 21 was a big part of it was I didn't like my body.
Yes.
Yes. And I think a lot of girls still don't like their bodies.
Yeah.
A lot of older women in their 30s, 40s don't like their bodies. So I wish I had the certainty and good feeling about my body that I have now.
Yes.
When I was 18, it would have helped a lot.
Yeah, we would have stopped wasting so much time feeling insecure about it and focusing
right.
on it.
Yeah.
I mean, I certainly felt that way as well for a very long time. And it's like, I don't know how, you know, young people who grew up with social media, how they cope.
Oof,
because I
no.
honestly...
Because we did not. Like, we didn't have it until we were, like, in our 20s.
Oh, for me, like, I mean, I'm 43, so it's like, you know, so I don't know. When did Facebook come out? I don't know. But it's like, that generation.
Yeah.
MySpace, Facebook. So, yeah, I mean, I'm so grateful that I didn't grow up with it. honestly. But yeah, even now, like, it's important to unfollow things that make you feel shit about yourself.
Totally. Really.
Whether it's their lifestyle, their love life, or their body, whatever it is, if it makes you feel, every time you feel a charge, like now, I just unfollow or mute if I feel there's a charge, because... No, why am I on social media for that?
I like that point that you made, Angie. Like, the charge, that's a good explanation. Like, if you feel kind of a charge, like, in your heart and then, like, in your body, like, it doesn't feel good. Yeah, that's a good way to point it out. Like, you should mute it.
That's actually also my compass when, let's say if I'm in certain situations, certain contexts, and when conversation over, and I feel like, oh, no, I need to not say that and just... It's almost like there's a charge. There's something almost like an invisible cloak, like that goes. And I used to ignore it before, but now I'm like, you definitely have to listen to yourself.
I love that. That's a good analogy. I feel the same. I feel that charge too a lot of times on social media, and I mute them.
Yeah, it's important. Self care. 100%. And so the second and last finishing thought is this: is like, what stuff do you not put up with anymore?
Mediocre sex.
Yeah.
I come, baby. I come first.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm always winning.
Mediocre sex for me. No mediocre sex.
What would it be like now? Because you have such like awareness, and you've cultivated, you know, your sexuality and stuff, and so you've come to such a healthy place. Like, what would be mediocre now? Is it because a partner would just not care about your pleasure? Would that be what it is now?
A few things. Like, yeah, if my partner was out of it, but I can also be out of it some days. What if I was injured, or what if something really shitty happened at work, right? Yeah, if I'm extremely stressed, or like, let's say when I have children, like what if one of my children got hurt, right? Like, there's so many life issues that can happen. But also, like, when I was younger, I had a ton of mediocre sex. You know, it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't amazing. It wasn't good. It was just okay.
Yeah.
So I got no time for that. I got no time for mediocre sex. Every time that we're going to have sex, I make sure we're in a mood, we're in a zone, and we're in an environment where we can give 110 to just that, like, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah, I make sure that every time I have sex, it's like, it's a vacation. Like, it feels great.
Oh, I like that. A vacation. I never heard it put like that.
Yeah. Really every good. Time I have sex, it's a vacation. My mind goes somewhere else. I'm lost in the body, mine and his. And it's amazing. 30 minutes. It's almost like just doing something really good for yourself, like getting a massage or whatnot. Like, it feels good. And that's why I want to have it more often if we weren't so busy, because I love having sex with my partner.
You need to put that on the mug. If sex isn't a vacation, I don't want it.
Exactly.
Put like Delta Tower or Love Bites, you know?
Yeah. I have a sticker that says no mediocre sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's good. So Tara, can you please tell us, like, where can people find you? How do you want people to connect you, find you, work with you? Give us all the good stuff.
Yes, you can find me on my website, lovebites.co. LUVBITES.co. That's also my social. So my Instagram is also lovebites.co. My TikTok is lovebites.co. And my podcast is Love Bites by Dr. Tara. And it's on anywhere where you get your podcasts. I also have a book out, and it's actually an e-journal that focuses on sexual mindfulness. And it's mind-blowing. If you really go through each unit wholeheartedly, you will learn a shit ton about yourself and your sexuality. So that's also on my website.
Yeah, I love that. Brilliant. Yeah, and definitely listen to Tara's podcast. It's really good. And thank you. Thank you so much for coming on today. This has been such a great pleasure. Really, really enjoyed having a chat with you. And yeah, I can't wait to see what you do next and where you go next. So thank you so much.
I was hoping it was great pleasure.
It was great pleasure.
Thank you so much, Angie, for having me. This was orgasmic.
That's weird. Thank you so much, Tara. And that's our episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Please don't forget to rate, review, share it, subscribe it on iTunes, follow it on Spotify or whichever platform you listen from. However you show love is how you can support this show. Drop me your questions or suggestions for future episodes via the website at angie-s.com or come and find me on Instagram at Tool for Dish It Podcast. See you next week. And until then,
ears and health, inappropriately.